Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. 5 seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
Today in sneaker history, we are taking it back to 1994, back when the very first website was published to the World Wide Web, back when Nas dropped his classic Illmatic, back when Tupac was starring in Above the Rim, and Forrest Gump was about to become one of the most successful movies of the time. And a guy named Michael Jordan was doing the absolutely unthinkable. Hey everyone, welcome to a special solo episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. I'm Nick Engvall, and today I'm going to share something a little bit different, a personal story about my first pair of Air Jordans and how they unexpectedly connected me to one of the most fascinating chapters in Michael Jordan's career, which just so happened to have happened about 31 years ago today. So picture this. It's a summer between 9th and 10th grade, and while most of my friends are hanging out at the pool or playing video games or just generally looking for trouble like we did as kids, I'm waking up at the butt crack of dawn with a very specific mission: to make enough money to never have to go back to high school ever again. Nah, I'm just kidding. I just wanted Jordans. Not just any Jordans, though. I had my eye on the Air Jordan 9s. Every weekend that summer, I was hustling. During the week, I was a kid behind the plate calling balls and strikes as a little league umpire. On weekends and some weekdays, I was pulling weeds, mowing lawns, and laying out bricks in the developing neighborhoods of our town. As a family friend did landscaping, and thankfully, I guess, they employed a little kid like me. Let me tell you, though, parents of little leaguers are crazy. Being a teenage umpire is not something I would recommend. Parents yelling at you over calls, coaches giving you the death stare, and basically you just sweating your nards off for hours in the summer heat while you take the abuse from all these people. But every dollar I made went straight to my sneaker fund. What's interesting is that while I was saving up for these shoes, Michael Jordan himself wasn't even playing basketball at the time. He had shocked the world by retiring from the NBA in October of 1993 after winning 3 straight championships with the Chicago Bulls. Somehow, though, that made me want a pair of Air Jordan 9s even more. I didn't really know if Michael's shoes were going to stick around after his NBA playing career. After months of saving, I was at the mall one day, and as I walked into the Foot Locker, I saw the Air Jordan 9 was on sale. The problem was, another shoe I had also become absolutely obsessed with was also on sale. Remember, back in the 90s, the shoe wall at Foot Locker was loaded with shoes we consider iconic today. The shoe that almost stole my heart away from the Air Jordan 9 was the Nike Air Carnivore. Back then, I absolutely loved shoes with straps. And honestly, the crazier the better. Well, if I'm being honest, I still feel about the same about straps and shoes and all of it. But anyway, you get the point. The temptation was there, but the Air Jordan 9s had me from hello. Not to mention the Air Jordan 9s have a special place in sneaker history because they were the first signature shoe released after Michael Jordan's first retirement from basketball. It's crazy to think that MJ never actually wore the 9s in an NBA game during their original release. That wouldn't happen until he rejoined the league and played for the Wizards after his second retirement. And that's where this story gets a little more interesting. You see, I bought these shoes because I was a fan of Michael Jordan, the basketball player, but I was also a huge baseball fan, and little did I know how these two passions would intersect in such an unexpected way. In February of 1994, Michael Jordan signed a minor league contract with the Chicago White Sox. He said that this decision was made to pursue the dream of his late father, who always envisioned his son as a Major League Baseball player. Jordan was assigned to the Birmingham Barons, the White Sox AA affiliate. His biggest moment on the baseball field came 31 years ago today. On April 7th, 1994, wearing number 45, Michael Jordan walked onto Wrigley Field for the Windy City Classic, an exhibition game between the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs. I can almost hear Harry Carey, the star of the day, the world's greatest basketball player. I'm terrible at impressions, sorry. But Steve Stone, Harry Carey, WGN, that's an entire nostalgic rabbit hole for another time. Think about that transition for a second, though. Going from being arguably the greatest basketball player ever, playing in packed NBA arenas with millions watching on TV from everywhere around the globe, to riding buses between small southern towns and playing in minor league ballparks. That takes some serious humility and courage. And if we're being honest, none of us really associate the word humility with Michael Jordan at this point. But anyway, here I was, a teenager working as an umpire in baseball games to buy basketball shoes named after a basketball player who is now playing baseball. There's something poetic about that circle, right? In many ways, those summer jobs taught me the same lesson that Jordan was learning in the minor leagues. Sometimes you have to start from the bottom, put in the work, and deal with the discomfort to chase what you want. As one of Jordan's teammates from that season said, I learned from him how to conduct yourself when things aren't going well, to see his work ethic and really get after it after he had already accomplished so much, has always helped me in my career and life. MJ's official professional baseball debut came the following day, April 8th, 1994, at Hoover Metropolitan Stadium in front of over 10,000 fans and 130 media members for the Birmingham Barons. It was the only thing that sports fans of the world cared about that day. It would take a couple more games for Michael to get his first hit. In fact, Jordan's baseball statistics weren't exactly stellar. He batted just .202 with three home runs in 127 games for the Barons. But considering he hadn't played baseball since he was in high school in 1981, that's actually pretty impressive. His manager with the Barons at the time was a guy named Terry Francona. If you're a baseball fan, that name should be very familiar. He later became a two-time World Series winning manager. Francona believed that Jordan, quote, had a chance to make it to the MLB if he stuck with it long term. But as we all know, the baseball experiment would be short-lived. Despite having a major league deal on the table from the Oakland Athletics, in March of 1995, Jordan announced his return to the basketball with his famous two-word press release. I'm back. The Charcoal Nines represented something special to me. They still do. They weren't just shoes. They were a symbol of my first real experience working hard for something that I wanted. And every time I laced them up, I felt that pride. Looking back, I think there's a connection between the journey of getting those shoes and what Jordan himself was trying to prove in baseball. Sometimes the value isn't in the destination, but in the journey, in pushing yourself to try something new, to start from scratch, and to be a beginner again. My Charcoal Nines are still with me, although they're a crumbling decay of yesteryear. But the memory of that summer, the pride of making the purchase, and the connection to Jordan's baseball experiment have stuck with me all through these years. So I'll wrap up this Today in Sneaker History episode with a question for you. What was your first pair of significant sneakers, and what did they represent beyond just footwear? Maybe it was your first pair of Jordans, maybe it was something completely different. Drop a comment in the Discord or on our social media pages. I'd love to hear some of your favorite memories. Until next time, keep collecting, keep connecting, and keep sharing those stories. Peace.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.